Hi everyone, and welcome back to our summer series, Inside Knowledge. I'm your host, Thea. Today we are joined by Erwin C for the last time, and she is going to give us her useful tips on how business leaders can do their part in helping to achieve financial inclusion. And we are once again joined by Erwin for her final episode with us on our summer series podcast, Inside Knowledge. So in the past two episodes, we discussed the Global Findex database 2021, the key important takeaways, the technological revolution, and also some good examples of businesses that are really doing it right. So today, I want to make this episode very practical for business leaders who are listening or watching to us today. So my first question is, what should business leaders in the West be doing to help achieve financial inclusion? What are your top tips for them?
Yeah, first of all, I do want to take it a little bit from the larger perspective, because we noticed working with companies that that is a very important perspective we need to start. So we need to see the bigger picture before we can go into financial inclusion, because financial inclusion usually happens at a place that is far away from the business leaders that are actually aiming to financially include. So starting to see the bigger picture is a very important one. It is good to include the other, to move away from me gaining, benefiting to we. Why is it important? So if you don't allow farmers, for example, out there to build up a good life, he or she will never be able to produce our food, to dig the minerals, to grow your ingredients or our ingredients, and therefore our clothes, our electronics, everything we use in a sustainable manner. And we all know what that does to our climate. And I think that's the bigger picture I really would like you to start with. So similarly goes for safety and hygiene, with the diseases spreading globally. So that the other lives a good life is beneficial for you and your business, or for me and my business, for which we need to financially include the other half of the world. And I keep repeating this because that's the core of why you should start doing this, is with this bigger picture. So the second piece of wisdom I would like to share is that you grow resilience also of your business through collaboration and working more as a network than as one siloed player. And especially on an issue as complex and multifaceted as financial inclusion or poverty actually is. Achieving financial inclusion is not possible if we cannot collaborate, if we don't know how to collaborate. And to be good at collaboration as a company, you need to learn a few new skills, because collaboration is truly radically different from competition. So let me quote an inspirational business leader. As you know, I touched upon it in the last episode, Jesper Brodin, the CEO of IKEA, or the Inca Group to be precise, about their corporate transformation journey to grow inclusion and sustainability. So they do this in close collaboration with many partners, with many inclusive models. And Brodin says, the first step to transformation is to move a little out of denial. And when you're in the middle of it, the transformation, you stand with both the inspiration and the joy of doing it, and also the scratching the head and your headache. And then you go over to show what good looks like, the first signs of change. And that first signs of inclusion is actually what I then would add, right? So this is relatively high over, I know. So let me, I promise to also make it a bit more specific and concrete. So let me go over into three lessons that we can learn from all the businesses that I talked about in the earlier episode, that paved the way to financial inclusion and incorporated in their core business and supply chains, amongst others, IKEA, right? They always do that in collaboration with innovators. So what have we learned? One thing is to be aware of a different reality, how your inclusive partners operate. So there is an assumption here that you should work with partners, since financial inclusion is always a local matter, including a local community. For that, you need a local partner. There's no other way. So when you do so, you need to realize that there is a different reality out there, and your partners have adopted totally different ways of organizing mechanisms and practices to work in that different reality, to be able to realize that inclusion, right? So, and you have to be aware of that, and you also learn from it. So that actually takes me to the second lesson. Accept that it is not in your control only. You somehow have to let go and learn. I take it from the previous point, right? So you have been building your business on a couple of premises, and some of them need to be changed because they led to this current world where we exclude the other half of the world. So you have to let go some of them to allow for financial inclusion. Mind you, you will be including your suppliers, workers, right? That's what we just discussed, or your distributors, clients. So it's far away from where you are sitting. It's a different lens. So one strength of your business is your control mechanisms, usually. That's in general the case for businesses. But in the case of financial inclusion, you have to work very downstream or upstream in your chain. So for that, you have to let go of the one-sided control. And you have to accept that you will most likely start to work more in an ecosystem of partners, in a value chain of partners, working on collaboration. So that style of working or the skills that you need for collaboration, they become less linear. They become less top-down. They become less hierarchical. It's really more becoming more linking than ranking, more on an equal basis than in growing inequalities, right? It's more based on trust, less on legal contracts. So to learn which premises do not work if you go further down the value chain, you need to let go and allow yourself to learn. And this is also shown by Brodin's answer to the question, how do you decide what works when it comes to inclusion and what not? And then he simply answers, you decide that afterwards. You just test and try things. Well, last lesson, all good things come in three, right? Is embracing complexity. The only constant is change. So the world is changing more rapidly by the day. The percentages that we mentioned in the earlier episode from the Global Index report, they indicate that in one decade, millions of people got access to a bank account. Even more got access to a phone and internet. What does that mean for you as a business? You don't know. And by the time that you do know, it has changed already. So imagine millions of low-income people empowered with internet and phones. How can you financially include them? How can they be your future market, whether it's selling or supplying? Well, let me quote Brodin again, because when he points out why they are on this learning journey, to change everything almost, that's how he puts it out there. He clearly states, we cannot be complacent with the past successes. And I really think that's a very insightful lesson for all of us to take with us, right? Past successes are not a guarantee for future success. And embracing complexity is not only what you as a leader should do. The real tip here is, how do you lead and allow your team to embrace complexity too? How to unteach them a lot of behavior that we've gotten so used to in the past century? That's what we need business leaders to do and to focus on.
Absolutely. And thank you very much for sharing those tips. I believe they will be very useful for business leaders listening or watching to us today. So thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today in the past two episodes. I think it was very useful and very interesting for our audience and for myself as well. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.